Since Pablo Picasso died almost 20 years ago, there have been published accounts of his life by his lovers, his wife, and children. Book critic John Leonard has a review of the first volume of a new Picasso biography by the artist's friend, art critic John Richardson.
John Richardson's biography of Picasso has been so much talked about for such a long time in the glitter domes of New York Saloon Society that some of us suspected it would never be published at all, like Harold Brodkey's famous novel, An Imaginary Masterpiece. Now that the first of four projected volumes actually exists, we shall have to apologize as well as exult. Once upon a time, Picasso told André Malraux, "The cat eats the bird. Picasso eats the cat. Painting eats Picasso." Richardson seems to have devoured bird, cat, Picasso, Spain, France, and 20th century art, and Western European culture, and we've only arrived at 1907. We back and forth between the bohemias of Paris and Barcelona. We traffic in poets and sycophants. We pass from circus to seashore, and from mannerist Madonna to ominous clown. And this just gets us through the blue period, with the blind guitar players, and the rose, during which it appears that Picasso was moony on opium. A sacred monster, certainly. A minotaur who behaved as badly to the women in his life as all the other biographies have reported. But the other biographies omit his charm and magnetism. Though Richardson has loftier matters on his mind, like El Greco and Gertrude Stein, we are reminded that the artist must have seemed as much a romantic hero in the bedroom as he did in the various organs of art publicity. The macho rubbish of his Andalusian upbringing accounts for a lot of his abusiveness, and God let him down by allowing his sister Conchita to die of typhus. But some women are attracted to dangerous men, just as some men are attracted to dangerous women, a theme of many novels, most of them French. For Picasso, sex and art were the same thing. Looking, painting, and making love were metaphors for one another. A new mistress meant a new style. He teased and tortured women as he teased and tortured forms, an alchemist and a kind of cannibal. Richardson also makes it clear that Picasso went to so many brothels and prisons and painted what he saw there, not because he was indignant at the social inequality or degradation of women in a corrupt capitalist society, but because he got his kicks from victims. For all his acquaintance with Barcelona and its anarchists, the young Picasso was not the least bit political. Bullfights, tarot, and the occult were more important to him than socialism. He was also shy and hated being short, and whenever he was depressed, he knocked out another self-portrait. It isn't true that he drew like Raphael at the age of 12, nor that his father swore off painting pigeons forever on seeing how superior his son was, though the Oedipal drama was real enough to cause Picasso to drop the patronymic from his signature. Nor was he the Catalan he liked to pretend, though Barcelona was more influential on his art than Paris, and he'd remain more Spanish than he ever became French. El Greco in his hand, Goya in his heart. Le Petit Goya, they called him, this chameleon, modernista, exorcist. Nor does Richardson neglect the Roman Catholicism Spanish style, with its element of sadomasochism. Above all, there was hard work. He was a one-man image factory, as overworked as God, he said. When we say goodbye to Volume 1, that gleam in his eye is cubism. His biographer is already the equal of George Painter on Marcel Proust. He may prove to be as good as Richard Ellman on James Joyce.
John Leonard is media critic for CBS Sunday Morning. He reviewed the first volume of John Richardson's A Life of Picasso.